Welcome to the Nourish, Eat, Repeat podcast, helping people who want to improve their health and change their mindset around food so they can live the life they were designed and called for. I am your host, Adrienne Delgado, and in this podcast, I'll give you step-by-step action plans to reach your health goals, as well as my favorite recipes I know you and your family will enjoy. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Nourish, Eat, Repeat. Happy 200th episode. 200 episodes. Can you believe it? 4 years has gone incredibly fast. I started this podcast in June of 2020. I'm taping this podcast March 22nd, 2024. So just shy of 4 years. That's a lot of talking. That's a lot of talking over the past 4 years. That's a lot of listening on your end. And so I just want to take a moment and just say how thankful I am and how appreciative I am that you guys show up week in and week out to support this podcast. It means a ton. I really do believe nutrition should be accessible to as many people as possible. That's why I do offer this free podcast for anybody that wants to learn more about nutrition. Not only learn more about nutrition, but learn what's true, what's not true, because let's face it, there's a lot of noise out there when it comes to health and weight loss, food, how we should feel about our bodies. You know, social media, there's a lot of great things about it, but there's a lot of not so great things. And when we give everybody a platform, not necessarily everybody has the education to have that platform. And so a lot of times what is popular is what gets shared, and what is popular is not always right. And that's why it's really helpful to have access to a professional that understands the body, understands the science of nutrition. And so I'm just thankful that I get to be that person on this podcast. And obviously, if you ever have any questions about a specific nutrition topic, please forward them my way. If you're ever looking to talk to somebody about changing your diet, I'm absolutely going to recommend Bodymetrics. We do have two locations and we accept health insurance, which means, 95% of our clients don't pay anything to come to our office. They see us all through their health insurance, which is huge because that means you can save your money to spend elsewhere, whether it's on groceries or a gym membership or some of these other habits that support a healthy lifestyle. You are not paying an additional cost to see a dietitian. So not only do you get correct information, but you get correct free information and support. And so, again, make sure you're setting up an appointment. We're happy to verify your insurance for you. If you have any questions about your coverage, just give us a call or visit us online at bodymetricshealth.com. You can schedule an appointment using our online scheduler or call the office at 610-454-7332. Today, we are talking about the topic 10 truths about weight loss we blow off but shouldn't. All right, I figured episode 200, a lot of people come to our office for weight management, whether that is because of a lifestyle change. Maybe you had a baby, maybe you had a couple kids, maybe it was through COVID, you've gained some weight. Maybe you're hitting menopause and you're noticing some weight gain there. And so I want to talk a little bit about weight loss today and what are like the top 10 things if I had to like dial it down to what are the most important things that I can relay to my clients and teach them and have them truly own and embrace and then execute. These would probably be some of my top 10. Well, they would be because I'm making a podcast out of it. All right. So today we're going to talk about the 10 truths about weight loss that we blow off but shouldn't. And as always, I have a bonus tip for you because I like to be generous. So actually, you get 11 today. All right. So top 10. Number one, you must be in a deficit. All right. It's as simple as that and it's as complicated as that. So what I mean by you must be in a deficit is you need to be taking in less calories than you are burning. You need to eat less than you are burning. Okay? And so that can be done either by decreasing your calories, that can be done by increasing your activity, or it can be done by a combination of the two. Most people think they are in a deficit, but they are not. I had a client who eats really well during the week and then over the weekend likes to, you know, go out to eat more often, go out with her spouse, go out with friends. And then because of the caloric intake over the weekend, she ends up regaining the weight that she lost during the week. So she has herself in a deficit for part of the week, but then in a surplus at the end of the week. So it's constantly a wash. That's not enough to be in a deficit. That's enough for maintenance, which I applaud her because maintenance is tough. Maintenance is figuring out what you can get away with and what you have to continue to be conscious of. And so there's nothing wrong with maintenance, but if you are looking for weight loss, you have to be in a deficit. When it comes to how many calories you burn, first we look at your basal metabolic rate. Just that is based on your age, your height, your weight. It's also based on your muscle mass. So if you do not have a strong body, you are not burning as many calories, which means you don't get to eat as many calories if you are looking for weight loss. Most women are shocked to see what their basal metabolic rate actually is. We can calculate that at our office. We use in-body machines to do that. If you have not done a body composition screen before, highly, highly recommend it. Even if you are not a client at Bodymetrics and you're curious, you can, I think it's like $30 to get an in-body reading. It's free if you're a patient. But we like to look at your composition. How many calories are you actually burning at rest? Right? Most women, it's about 1,200 calories. Now, of course, you're not bedridden, so we have to add an activity factor. We have to add in any exercise you're doing. But once we know that number, then we can subtract out some calories to create a deficit. And so you may think you're in a deficit because you ate a salad at lunch on Tuesday, but honestly, it is being in a deficit consistently over time. Now, I have found that my women that create a smaller deficit are more likely to sustain the change versus the ones that try to reduce their calories by 500 to 1,000. They end up starving and then binging and spinning their wheels, if not gaining weight. So I'd much rather you have a 200 to 300 calorie deficit than try to hit a 500 to 1,000 calorie deficit and not go anywhere. Yes, your weight loss is going to be a little bit slower, but you're able to maintain it. Right? If I told you that at the end of the year, you could be down 20 pounds, most people would be really happy with that. That's like a half a pound a week. Most people are not happy with losing a half a pound a week. It's not enough. It should be more. But trying to lose 2 to 3 pounds a week is not sustainable. You're going to be too hungry. So I'd rather do it a little bit slower and have it last than try to get to the finish line too quickly and have it backfire. So it may be reevaluating how you think about this long-term plan. You know, 20 pounds in a year is nothing to be upset about. That is a victory. So number one, we do have to be in a deficit, and most people aren't. Number two, protein matters. Muscle matters. Listen, we need to get off the I need to be skinny train and go find ourselves on the I need to be strong train. Your muscle is what is going to carry you through the second half of your life. If you are not strong, you are not going to have a healthy second half. I mean, think about everything you do relies on muscle. Everything you do, getting up off the toilet, getting up off the floor, reaching into the trunk of your car and getting your groceries out. The number one reason why people are in assisted living homes is because they can't take care of themselves anymore. Simple daily living tasks become too difficult because they don't have the strength or the flexibility to do it. I mean, I know I've got a lot of kids, but my biggest fear is they're going to throw me in a home real quick. So I need to take care of myself. I need to be able to do things to take care of myself for as long as possible. And you do that with muscle. So when you exercise, you tear down muscle. And when you eat protein, you build it back up. So we need to have protein in our diet. We have to. It's essential. I like to aim for 20 to 30 grams of protein per meal. I like to do it through food, both animal sources and plant sources. I know there are a lot of people that like to do it through plant sources only. Fantastic. I like to get my protein through food as much as possible and supplements secondary. Supplements are not my go-to. That's not how I want people to get their protein. So whether you're looking for animal products like meat and eggs and dairy, or if you want to go through plant products like quinoa and whole grains and soy and nuts and beans and seeds, or a combination of the two, we just need to make sure that we're prioritizing protein at every meal. I want to make sure that you finish strong and you are able to do everything you want to do. And so, again, if you're trying to tear down and just become skinny and waste away, it's going to impact you later in life. So let's focus on being strong and eating to support that. All right. Plus, when you eat protein, it helps you feel fuller longer. So if you are trying to create a deficit and don't want to be hungry and miserable, protein will help you feel fuller much longer than just eating carbs. Now, I'm not trying to make carbs out to be bad. Because tip number three is fiber matters. Fiber absolutely matters. Protein matters, but so does fiber. I get so frustrated when people argue about protein, animal versus plant, fiber. What are we doing? Why are we trying to make protein and fiber into politics? Both are equally important in your diet. Both. Let's prioritize both. Fiber is what feeds your microbiome, your gut, the trillions of bacteria that live in your digestive tract that keep you healthy, that keep bacteria away, viruses away, that allow you to show up. Listen, if you don't have health, you don't got much. And so we've got to keep your body healthy, because when you have a healthy gut, you have a healthy body. You know, when you feel bloated and sick or you have diarrhea, you're good for nothing. You don't feel like exercising. You don't feel like getting strong. You don't feel like being in a calorie deficit. You just want comfort. You just want to feel good. You want to have energy. What you put in your body matters. And if you're not seeking out fiber at every single meal, you're missing out on an opportunity to keep your gut healthy, to keep your body healthy, to manage your blood sugar, your cholesterol levels, your risk of colon cancer, diverticulitis. I mean, fiber is woven into everything. It keeps your gut healthy. It keeps you regular. All right. Not to get too graphic, but you know, my favorite topic is poop, right? When you poop every day, and it's a good poop, not like a constipation poop, but like a really good poop, you feel amazing, right? It's a great feeling, and fiber keeps you regular. Again, we want to do it through food first as much as possible. Fiber's found in fruits and vegetables and whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds. We want to be choosing them often, not just at dinner time, but through snacks as well. You know, can you add a little bit of flaxseed or hemp or chia seeds to your oatmeal in the morning? Can you add more fruits and vegetables at lunch and not just eat vegetables at dinner? Can you eat beans 3 to 4 times a week? These are great ways to add more fiber to your diet and feel your best. Now, not everybody's digestive tract does well with fiber. There are some people that it actually feels worse. So if you are one of those people, make sure you're coming into Body Metrics so we can help you figure out what foods feel best for you. I hate making comments that are absolutes, like everybody needs to do this one thing, because that's just not true. Everybody needs to listen to their body to figure out what feels best to them. But we can collectively agree that fiber matters and that we need to get as much of it in the way that feels best in our body on a regular basis. All right, so that was number three. Number four, another truth about weight loss that we blow off but shouldn't, is we need to check your ego at the door. All right, check your ego at the door. I have a lot of clients that come in and feel, let's see, what word do I want to use? Not self-righteous, but, oh goodness, this word's going to escape me. I feel like they are owed something, right? That they have the right, and it's, I know I'm missing this word here, and everybody listening to this is trying to scream it out to help me, and it's not going to help if you're not here. But they just feel like they deserve to be able to make certain choices, right? When it comes to trying to lose weight, especially when you've hit a plateau, or especially when you've hit a part where the scale's not moving anymore, you have to be willing to do the work. You have to be willing to get curious about your behaviors and your habits. You have to be willing to do the things that other people aren't willing to do. You know, when it comes to, you know, sometimes I recommend journaling. You know, but how about journaling at night just to kind of pay attention? Oh, I don't feel like journaling. I don't want to do that work. Can't you just tell me what to eat? Like, we have to be willing to check our ego at the door. Entitled. That's the word, entitled. We feel entitled to be able to make our own choices. But sometimes we have to pivot. What worked for you when you were 20 may not work for you when you're 40 or 50. Well, I shouldn't have to do this because I didn't have to do it before. Well, guess what? You may have to do it now, right? Get curious. You know, while we're checking our ego at the door, let's also check judgment at the door. Judgment is not helpful. In fact, it just prolongs the process. If you are shaming yourself along the way and judging everything you do, we're not going to get to the goal any closer. So always get curious, right? What would happen if I did this? What would happen if I change this? What would happen if I eat more calories during the day? Does that change how hungry I am at night? I don't know. Try it. What would happen if I journal gratitude every day? Would that actually change my mindset? So I'm not so, you know, sad at the end of the day, thinking about all the things that went wrong, and then wanting food to comfort me? Curiosity. Run an experiment on yourself. Just because you think you know the outcome doesn't mean you actually know the outcome. Some people are pleasantly surprised. When I ask clients to do a body scan when they think they're hungry, right? Like, I just want them to check in with themselves first. You have a thought about food. You have a thought about food. And you think you're hungry. But before you just jump into the kitchen and start eating, can we just get curious and see, is this truly a physical hunger sensation or is this emotional hunger? And most people will be like, oh, I know what it is. You know, it's physical hunger. It definitely is. I'm like, well, let's just try it. Let's just see. Can you just agree to run this experiment? And then a lot of people will come back and they'll be like, you know what? I thought I ate when I was hungry, or I thought I ate when I was stressed. Huh, turns out I eat because I'm tired. I'm like, well, look at that. Unbelievable. Right? Like, that's fantastic. Be willing to check your ego at the door and get curious about what actually is happening so you can figure out the next best step. Number five, consistency over perfection. Oh my goodness. I will say this over and over and over again. Consistency over perfection. Listen, one salad on a Tuesday is not going to make you lose 10 pounds in the same way that one ice cream blizzard on a Friday night is not going to make you gain all the weight. We have got to get rid of this all or nothing mentality. You know, I will say this over and over again too. It's usually not the overeat that gets you in trouble. It's your response to the overeat. Like, well, now I messed it up. Now my perfect streak is ruined. I might as well just give up. I might as well just go all in and eat all the foods that I have not allowed myself to eat over the past week because I was trying to be perfect. I had a client come in yesterday, actually, and she was talking about how she had a streak going on with meditation and she accidentally missed a day and she was so upset. She's like, I had a 12-week streak going with meditation and I just forgot. I was away and I forgot to do it. And then she said, it's like somebody was giving her advice. Well, you could go in and manipulate the date, you know, on your phone and then log it. And she's like, what? Like, but I know I messed it up. You know, it's funny how, you know, we're like so quick to try to cover our mistakes. You know what? I said, one day out of 12 weeks is pretty fantastic, right? She wanted to look at the one day. I wanted to look at the 11 weeks and 6 days because what you do consistently will be your outcome. But that one day, that one blemish is willing, she's willing to be upset about all of that work for one day. Now you and I can listen to that and be like, well, that's ridiculous. One day is not terrible at all. But when you're in it and you're striving for perfection, it's devastating. Where do we get this desire for perfection? The diet industry. Because every diet that we've ever been on has said, you have to be perfect or it doesn't count. I mean, look at Whole30 diet. You mess up once, even if you don't even know you messed up. You probably messed up. Even on day 29, you start all the way at the beginning again because you couldn't get your act together and be perfect. Oh my goodness. That's ridiculous, right? What about all these great changes that people have been making? So they just don't count? We wouldn't say that in any other area of our life. We wouldn't do it when we were in school. You get a bad grade. You don't quit school. You just work harder. You just show up again. You try your best. Right? Let's talk about that and the value of that. But yet nobody wants to congratulate you for showing up, but they should. Which takes us to number 6, get a coach. In the beginning, when you're learning about nutrition, you're going to need some education and you're going to need some accountability. In the beginning, you're motivated, you're excited, this is new, I'm going to do all these great things, but that excitement is going to fade after a couple days. That excitement is going to fade the first time that the scale doesn't budge. That excitement is going to fade at 5 in the morning when you have to get up to exercise. And so you're going to need some accountability to help you through those tough parts. Right? You're also going to need a coach, not only for education and accountability, but to be your cheerleader, to remind you about the 11 weeks and 6 days when you're focusing on the one. Now, Body Metrics, I mean, I guess you could call us a nutrition coach. We're dietitians, nutritionists, coaches, sure, all of it, right? And we'd love to be there for you. And we take your health insurance, if I didn't mention that before, which I know I did. All right. But listen, we're going to be your cheerleader. We're going to be your biggest fan. We understand that you may not live with people that are on board with your choices and the health changes you're trying to make. So you're going to need support. And along the way, we're going to teach you how to be your own cheerleader because my goal is not to see you for the rest of your life. I love seeing you. I love all my clients that have been here with me for years because they're just looking for accountability as a check-in. Their goals have changed. But I also am a big proponent of teaching people how to become their own cheerleaders. Because I'm not going to be with you in every situation, being able to help you, support you. I need to teach you how to do it yourself. But in the beginning, we're not there yet, right? We got to learn the basics. We have to create a foundation. We have to gain trust before we can just move all the way to the harder stuff. All right. But get a coach, get a dietitian, get somebody to support you. Go to bodymetricshealth.com, schedule an appointment. We also have my nutrition coach. All right. If you don't live in Pennsylvania and you live far away and you still want accountability and support and recipe ideas, then you go to bodymetricshealth.com and you sign up for my nutrition coach. It's $10 a month and it's free the first 30 days. I can't make it any easier. But you will get ongoing support through our community page. You'll get accountability questions. You'll get a weekly group Zoom call on a Sunday night at 7:30 to teach you a new lesson and keep you focused. And that support is invaluable, right? You need a team of people surrounding you, cheering you on. Come to my nutrition coach. Number 7, truth about weight loss we blow off is your thoughts are everything. Your thoughts are everything. Your thoughts are what ultimately create feelings. Those feelings eventually become your behaviors, and your behaviors become your outcomes. We know that the mindset piece is what has been missing from most nutrition programs. Like, let's be honest. The nutrition programs are pretty much the same. Eat as few calories as you can, exercise as much as you can, you'll lose weight. But what the weight loss plans that you have traditionally followed don't teach you is how do you talk to yourself when you overeat? How do you decline a dessert when somebody says to you, but I made this especially for you? How do you talk to yourself when your kids leave over half their dinner sitting on the plate and you paid $20 for that at a restaurant? Right? Nobody's there talking to you and teaching you and coaching you about what thoughts to have. What are the sentences to say when you're in those situations? And so doing some mindset work is extremely important. Right? If you want to do differently, you first need to think differently. You need to have different thoughts. Right? Here's a great thought. What if I'm wrong? What if the way I thought about this for so long actually isn't even true? Or maybe it's true, but it's not helpful and it's not kind. Right? When I say to myself that, you know, when I stand in front of the mirror and grab my stomach in front of the mirror and say, you know, what's wrong with you? Why can't you do better? Nobody's going to love you if you look like this. Or, you know, you can't even wear a bathing suit this summer. Your family will be ashamed. Whatever you're telling yourself, right? And you think that that's motivation to do better. What if you're wrong? What if that's not motivation? What if that is actually making you feel so terrible about yourself that you need to go eat ice cream at night just to feel a fraction better than you did earlier in the day? What if you're wrong? What if your thoughts about motivation are actually wrong? What about the way you see food, all or nothing, is wrong? What about, you know, the words you say, well, one bite doesn't matter, actually isn't helpful, because then it leads to a half a bag of chips. That one chip turns into half a bag. Well, one doesn't matter. Maybe one doesn't matter isn't the right sentence in that moment. And so again, working with somebody that can help you identify what those thoughts are and how to renavigate, reroute, think differently. What's the thought I should think here when I am in this position is extremely helpful. All right, number 8. Sleep and water come before calories. Sleep and water come before calories. We have got to get the basics down before we even try to start working on the nutrition piece. If you are exhausted, you're not going to do well. If you're dehydrated, not going to do well. We have to get these foundational principles in place, these basics, to set you up to be successful. For example, we know that when you are sleep deprived, your cravings increase. So what good does it help me to tell you, hey, don't eat so much at dinner or stop eating after dinner at night when your cravings are through the roof? We know that when you're dehydrated, a lot of times the body mistakes dehydration for hunger. So when you think you're hungry and actually you're just thirsty, it's really hard to make good choices because you think you're hungry. So we want to make sure that we address some of these foundational principles first before we just jump in to a special diet or exercise program. We have to set ourselves up to be successful. We have to, I'm thinking game of baseball. You want to hit a home run, you've got to bring a bat up to the plate. You can't just show up at the plate and expect to do well. You got to bring the right tools. You've got to, you know, practice your swing ahead of time for your timing. You have to set yourself up to be successful. And sleep and water are two of the most critical pieces that we want to get in place first before we even try to attempt the harder stuff. Number 9, intuitive eating should be your goal. What is intuitive eating? Intuitive eating is actually listening to your body and letting your body tell you what it needs instead of you telling your body what it needs. Any traditional diet out there will say, you need to eat a half a cup of cottage cheese and a quarter cup of pineapple, and that should fill you up for 4 hours. What? Says who? Says the person who's 80 pounds and 4'11", who sits on their butt all day? Why does she get to make the rule or he get to make the rule? He or she doesn't live in your body. They have no clue how much you should eat to feel full. I'm a firm believer that your body has all the information it needs to make its best decision. You never tell your heart to beat. You never tell your lungs to inflate. Why do you think you should be able to tell your stomach how much fills it up? Yes, you need to be in a deficit, but let's be honest. Most people are not overeating because they're starving. They're overeating because they're trying to, you know, appease a certain emotion, escape an uncomfortable situation. Their body told them they were full 10 bites ago, and yet they're still eating because the bag isn't finished yet. Our job is to listen to your body, and that should be your ultimate goal, is to just really be able to listen, identify its needs, and then meet the needs, honor the needs. Our goal is not to constantly tell our body what should fill it up and when it should eat. It should be like, no. I know there's some jobs out there that you don't get to just eat when you want to. So yeah, we have to navigate our way through that. But intuitive eating, listening to your body, eating when it's hungry, stopping when it's enough, is ultimately the goal. That's how you do maintenance without becoming so obsessed and preoccupied with food. A lot of people are like, oh, I want to lose weight and I want to have a healthy relationship with food. You're kind of going in opposite directions, unless intuitive eating is the foundation of the plan you're following. All right, number 10, make the healthy choice the easy choice. If you want to start a new habit, we've got to remove friction. So things like meal prep, meal planning, taking cookies off the counter and putting them in the cabinet, adding a fruit bowl to your kitchen counter so when you're hungry, that's the first thing you see. Rearranging the refrigerator so your produce is out on display and the other foods are in the drawers. Wearing your workout clothes to bed the night before so you're already dressed when the alarm clock goes off. creating pre-portioned snacks. So when you're hungry, you already have portion control at your fingertips versus having to do the hard work of counting things out when you're starving. These are all things that we can do to reduce the friction to be more likely to follow through with the goals we have in place. We must make the healthy choice the easy choice, because there are going to be times when you are not motivated to do the right thing. There's going to be times when you don't have the energy, and any little thing that you can do to help out your future self is key. All right, and finally, your bonus tip. Find things in your life that bring you joy, comfort, peace, that soothe outside of food. Food cannot be your only way of comforting yourself. Food cannot be the only thing you're looking forward to when you go to a party. Listen, if 50% of the feelings that we have in this lifetime are going to be uncomfortable, we need to find other ways to bring peace, bring joy, bring comfort into our lives. Whether that's reading a book, talking to a friend, playing with a pet, going outside, going for a walk, listening to music, taking a bath, journaling. We need to find ways to soothe instead of letting food be our primary reason. It may be how you were taught when you were younger. Maybe your parents gave you food and that's how you were upset. They took you out to dinner or for ice cream. And food can be a part of that process, but it can't be the only tool in your toolbox. All right? Whew! There are your 10 truths about weight loss that we blow off, but we shouldn't. I hope you found this episode to be helpful. If so, if you don't mind, if you can go ahead and like and subscribe to the podcast, or however you say it, and leave a review. That can be also very helpful at getting the message out and sharing it with others. All right, let's get you your recipe. I just wanted to give you like something soothing, you know, in alignment with that bonus tip we just talked about, but that also, you know, calorically free, but also can be refreshing. So if you're trying to look for hydration, if you're looking for soothing, this can check off a lot of those items. It's a cinnamon mint tea. Really, really simple. You're just going to take 1 1/4 cup of water and boil it on the stove or in a microwave if you have that. Bring it to a boil and then throw it in a mug. And then to that, you're going to add 2 tablespoons of mint leaves and 1 cinnamon stick. And you're going to let that steep for about 4 to 5 minutes. Feel free to remove the cinnamon stick and mint leaves before you drink it, or leave it in if you want it to look pretty. And that's it. That can be a really nice drink for the evening when you're looking to wind down. It can also be another way to hydrate you, whether you're doing hot or cold water. Doesn't matter. It still all counts. And that's your recipe. All right, guys. Once again, thanks again. 200 episodes strong. Thank you for listening and showing up and sharing this podcast. I appreciate all of you so much. I will see you next week. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Nourish, Eat, Repeat podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please rate, review, and share with others so we can reach and help more people. For more information about nutrition, how to work with a dietitian, or about any of our programs, visit our website at bodymetricshealth.com. You can also find us on socials. We're on Instagram and Facebook at bodymetricshealth. The book Nourish, Eat, Repeat is available on our website and Amazon in both paperback and ebook versions. Once again, I'm Adrienne Delgado, and I'll see you next week.